From Montana for Montana, it's Voices of Montana. Hi, I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and please contact me here for show suggestions or comments at tom@voicesofmontana.com.
You know, we talk about leadership. Leadership is always a focus, I think, for the public, for us on the radio, of course, as connected individuals and in organizations. What does leadership mean across our Montana communities? We have many neighbors. We have many colleagues. They're accepting that mantle of local leadership. What does it take to lead our Montana communities? Not just today. There's enough trouble for today, but they're also focusing on the future, 10 years down the road, whether they're in office or not, their care for that community continues and their vision for those communities continue. We talk about that vision today as we are live at the League, Montana League of Cities and Towns annual conference in Helena, Montana, today on Voices of Montana. 406 into Helena, and been looking forward to this for quite a while as we are again live at the annual convention for the Montana League of Cities and Towns. There's a lot of mayors, but council people here, and talk administrators and folks who do the real good and dirty work, so to speak. It's what it takes for our communities to move forward. Thank you again for joining us here. We're two decades strong and working on three, Voices of Montana. Got a good lineup here today. We'll see what order they go in. A bit later on, we'll say hello to Peggy Williams, Mayor Williams from Libby, Montana. She's standing by now. I had a chance to chat with her. Of course, our affiliate up there in Libby. Very much appreciate that. John Jones from Fort Peck. John Williams from Colstrip. Caught up with him just yesterday as well. There's some development stuff. In fact, a lot of these people are talking about the development and, of course, infrastructure. Bill Cole should join us from Billings. Joe Purcell from Hardin, Montana, sitting right in front of us. And let's welcome a couple of guests early on. Kelly Lynch is the executive director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns. What's that like?
Good morning, Tom. Good morning. How are you? Nice to see you.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the league.
Oh, thank you. I've been looking forward to it because, I mean, we can educate our audience on some of the things that many of these cities are dealing with. Development is a big one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And I think everyone's trying to deal with all the new people.
Yeah. Well, again, what's that like?
Right? Yeah. So as we talked about before, the league, I think the biggest role we play is to kind of provide these opportunities for mayors, administrators, public works directors, planners to have that opportunity to get together and learn from each other and kind of see, what are you doing about this? What are you doing about this? Housing's a big issue. And, of course, anytime you want housing, you've got to have infrastructure. So that's a big issue for us. We have been working real closely together after the legislative session to try and piece together all the things that came out of the legislative session, and that's been a big topic since then, you know, whether it's land use and zoning or dealing with the housing or having some additional funds that have come to us for roads, for infrastructure. So we are busy.
Yeah.
Busy.
Tell us about the league real quick, too.
So the league is a membership of all 127 incorporated cities in Montana. They became official in 1931. I think they were meeting before that, but I don't know for how long. We basically provide technical assistance. We have a new program to provide financial services. So if you lose a clerk or a clerk's out on leave or it's a new clerk who needs training, we can provide that from someone who has that expertise in-house. We do advocacy both at the legislative session, but then mostly during the interim, you know, trying to implement those bills that came out, work with agencies on rules that they're working on, whether or not it's wastewater treatment standards or drinking water or roads and streets with MDT. So we're just always doing something.
Yeah, I know, and especially after the session, I suppose, during the session, then after the session, trying to adjust to a lot of those things.
Yeah, exactly, and get that training out to people so they don't have to do all of that work themselves to figure out, okay, what bills pass, what do I have to do to meet it, how do we do that? So right now we've got, all the mayors and other staff are inside the Civic Center learning about civility and kind of how to run public meetings in our crazy world of anger and fighting.
Civility.
And then, Yeah, the city attorneys are all in their own continuing legal education room learning about all the latest cases. So we kind of have a little bit for everybody.
You do. And it's, and I want to take in some of these courses as well. I think they're just good for folks to know. The league itself, and I should say we are here at the Civic Center, and the focus today is go local and this year. Talk about why that's our focus.
Yeah, I mean, we've been really trying to focus in the last couple of years on how local government is the closest government to the people. We are the, you know, the most flexible. You can see your mayor in the grocery store. You can, they are one of the school teachers locally. They're one of the firefighters. We basically are our neighbors. So we think that's the best level of government. You know, the stuff that you see on a day-to-day basis, your roads, your water when you turn on your faucet, your wastewater when you flush the toilet, these are all things that local government makes happen for you.
Yeah, yeah, right at that level. Let's welcome Chris Hindoyne. He's the Shoto mayor. And Chris, good to see you, and thanks for coming on today. Appreciate that.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, let me see. I got to turn everything up now to find out where you are at. Are you over here?
I don't know.
There you are.
There I am.
Yeah, I got you. Thank you. Kelly had mentioned training, and I'm curious as to how important that is to you guys, because especially after a legislative session, there's new edicts and things to follow. I suppose that's a pretty valuable tool for.
Oh, it's an amazing tool, and I was blessed to be able to come down to Helena enough and take part in some of our legislative hearings and have a voice for our community down here as things evolve through the legislative session. But for those that don't have that opportunity, these are vital. The league is an amazing tool that we have access to that keeps us up to date, not only on legislative stuff, but national issues from the National League of Cities and Towns. And the email that we can share amongst our mayors, there's very rarely is there an issue that some mayor in Montana hasn't dealt with that you can put it out there and nobody has to go reinvent a mousetrap because somebody's already has dealt with it or is currently dealing with it.
Well,
in Montana.
I can see how that's very valuable as well. What's on the top of your plate as mayor of Shoto, Montana?
Infrastructure. I'm in my first year of my first full term. I served 2 years to fill out the term of a previous mayor. Last year, we finished up 5,300 linear feet of new sewer lines in Shoto. We're wrapping up 13,000 feet of new water lines in Shoto. Bringing updated water. Our infrastructure is important to me. One of the reasons I ran is I want our, if our community is not strong underground, there's no way we can be strong above ground. And we pump about 11 million gallons a month for water, but we only meter about 3.5 million. We were losing that much water. So it was an important project for us to take this on and try and improve that infrastructure.
What will it do for your community?
Well, I have 142 homes and 9 businesses that are on my sewer system that aren't on city water, and that's because water couldn't reach to most of them. So by the time we're done with this phase and we're starting into our next phase of a new well, a new transmission line, and water tanks, we will have water available to everybody in the city of Shoto.
Infrastructure is probably, when I say, you know, what's on the top of your plate, it's probably at the second level, it's probably at the third level. I mean, infrastructure is something that's you deal with.
It is. I mean, I'm a fourth generation Montanan living in Shoto, business owner in Shoto. My son-in-law and daughter are in Shoto now, and they, you know, manage the funeral home there in Shoto. I have 2 grandkids there, so I'm going to have 6 generations of Montanans in Shoto. And I need them to, you know, I need to know that Tempe and Rubens Shoto will be strong enough to support them when they get to that stage.
And that's what I want to talk about, too, is some focus on the future here. It's Chris Hindoyne, Shoto Mayor. We're live at the Civic Center for the Montana League of Cities and Towns annual convention. But you brought some tax information as well that you wanted to share, and I think that's good. I mean, for us to understand, how big is this the city of Shoto?
We're about last census, we were 1,751 people. We're the 41st largest city in Shoto and the 8,181st largest city in America.
Okay. How does the 8,000th largest city in America operate?
We operate, we're very fiscally sound, I would tell you that. Our water rates are in the lower bottom 25% of the state of Montana for our water rates for one of our enterprise funds. Over the last 20 years, I can tell you that in 2003, our street light assessment fee was 35 cents, and our street maintenance per linear foot was 33 cents. And in 2023, our street lights are now 40 cents, and our street maintenance is $1.25. So in 20 years, we've had an increase of 5 cents in our street lights and 92 cents in our street work.
Wow. Wow. And I think I like that. A lot of people don't know that. A lot of people don't know where you're trying to save money in the budget.
And we are. Yeah. We do our best to work within what we have. And it's difficult to go to a community, an older community, although it is changing. You know, we have folks moving in from different parts of the country and have a sweeping change. We do have people that are moving from the South, from Texas, from Louisiana, from Washington, and they're coming from large communities, and all of a sudden they want the same services they had there, and we can't offer that.
And that's kind of a hard situation to deal with. You want to welcome these members into the community, but your community has, been, how long has Shoto been incorporated?
We were incorporated in 1913. We celebrated our 110th anniversary this year for our 4th of July parade.
Yeah, so there's a lot of history, a lot of tradition that goes along with that people in the community want to have respected. Yeah. So, but development-wise, what kind of pressures are they putting on?
Well, Shoto is a beautiful place to live, but it's a bad place to build a town. We have floodway issues. We have land use issues surrounding the city of Shoto with more and more conservation easements coming into play where we're not going to be able to expand that way.
Grizzly bear
issues,
I
yes.
I was certainly going to talk about that.
That was coming. It seems strange that we have phone calls throughout the city that, oh, yeah, there's a bear in town. And, anymore it's old hat. You hate to say it, but it truly is.
Yeah, and that's not a place I think that you're comfortable with as a mayor, is it?
No, I'm not, because the majority of them are within a couple blocks of our school, and we've put together a Bear Safe Shoto community group, and we're trying to work together to see if we can do some things to make our community a little more bear safe. But our garbage cans, let's talk about that for a second. A regular garbage can for us is $95. A bear smart, bear proof garbage can is almost $400.
Wow.
And you have to have a different garbage truck to pick them up. So for us to undertake something like that is financially impossible.
Well, and that's, I think, the thing that small town folks have to deal with is that they're going to have pressures from the federal government to mandate things. And you have to find a way, whether you have the resources there or not. Talk about that process.
It's difficult. You go work with, this is where communities and people have to go work with entities you wouldn't normally think about. So we have to go deal with Sierra Club. We go deal with the different environmental groups out there throughout the East, because if we were to get into a battle with them, we're going to lose. We don't have the funding that they have. So my best tool is to go to them and say, look, if you want this to happen, I can only pay $95 a garbage can. I need you to grant me the rest of the money for these things, and I have to have a different garbage truck now at $1 million.
Jeez.
So somehow we got to get that taken care of.
And what? Tom, I'll jump in here,
please,
on this, because the league has basically taken on this issue of nutrient standards for our wastewater treatment plants. It's something that EPA is pushing. Several years ago, we adopted numeric standards, and it takes, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to do treatment plants that can treat our waste to the standards that EPA wants to see. When you're talking about a town like Shoto, it's not going to happen. I mean, people can't afford that, even if you could charge them everything you would need to charge them. So it's a huge issue for us, and I do think it's hard for us to get the public to understand that we're between a rock and a hard place.
Chris, what's your vision? About 30 seconds here, maybe a little more. What's your vision for 10 years down the road? Whether you're mayor there or not, you talked about generationally and your families being there. What do you want to see this community evolve to?
I want this community to remain vibrant as a county seat. I want it to remain vibrant as a go-to destination for folks to come and see the Rocky Mountain Front. We have four wonderful seasons there. We have four great events during the year to come visit us. And I want to make sure that our infrastructure in our town can continue to handle that.
You, last year, I remember Chris, and I've got his card still on my desk as we were in Kalispell. And he said, come visit us, and we're still going to do that, all right? But when is Shoto at its best? When do you want us there?
Well, if you're... Spring migration for the snow geese. If you've never seen the snow geese come through Montana, it is truly Mother Nature at her finest, and that normally happens the last part of March, first part of April. Our 4th of July celebration is second to none. I mean, we'll quadruple in size for that. We're proud to say next summer we have the Bob Marshall Wilderness Music Festival coming to Shoto. They've been in Sealy Lake for a few years, and they're going to come to Shoto.
Wow.
And we're excited for Lewis Clark Brewing Company to bring that to Shoto. And then in the fall, Oktoberfest and things like that, hunting season is always pretty popular around Shoto as well.
Yeah, it's a great community. It really is. And thank you for taking on that mantle of leadership. Appreciate that.
Come see us. I got a room at my office you can stay at.
All right.
Everything you guys need.
Come all right. Up. We're going to tear that town up.
All
you're
right.
going to be sorry. Yeah.
Sounds good.
All right. Appreciate that. We'll take a break and come on back. Lots more here from the Montana League of Cities and Towns annual convention, Civic Center in Helena, Montana. Joe Purcell, the Harton Mayor and incoming president of the league. Yep. I like how you get to call it the league. You know, it sounds like it's got something going there. We're back with more. It's From Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
You take pride in your equipment. When a belt is loose or squealing, you tighten it. But what about the most important piece of equipment on your operation? That's you. If your mind isn't running on all cylinders, you can't be effective for your farm or your family. Don't wrench on it alone. If something's not quite right, call someone who can help. Get free, confidential guidance from wherever you are. You can't control the weather, but you can control how you react. To connect with a professional, head to beyondtheweather.com.
Yeah, welcome back. We did forget to say that Shoto, Montana is the home of Flint Rasmussen. Keep that going. The home of Joe Purcell is Hardin, Montana, and Billings, Montana Mayor Bill Cole is with us here. Kelly Lynch as well. She's the executive director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns. Tom Schultz again back here live at the annual conference. And let's get into issues with Joe Purcell and Bill Cole with us as well. First of all, congratulations, Joe, the incoming president.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Have I got you up there? I think I do. There you go.
All right.
All right. Tell me what... As you come in with the Montana League of Cities and Towns, what is it, as the incoming president, that you'd like to focus on?
Supporting our executive directors, supporting the league as far as infrastructure and bills and property taxes and all the issues that have come out of our legislative session, as well as what our cities and towns have to encounter. There's a lot of struggle in economic development, all this new infrastructure projects coming out, working on... Try not to be on the micromanagement end from our state level.
Yeah.
I mean, trying to give us and giving the cities and towns their own voice and giving them the opportunity to make their own decisions and not being micromanaged.
What are you facing there in Hardin, Montana? What are some of the challenges that Joe Purcell as mayor is going to take on?
Well, the biggest challenge in the last couple of years has been our public safety. The citizens and residents wanted better public safety. So I put together and initiated a city police force. So we're going into our second year. We've had some hiccups up and down, but it's been a great response from the public and some great results.
I'm going to throw that to Mayor Bill Cole as well. Public safety, I know, is again, you got, when I say what's at the top of your plate, I think everything goes to the top of your plate at one time or another, but public safety is there.
You're absolutely right, Tom. We do have grizzly bears, but they're at Zoo Montana, and they're cute, and we love them just fine, you know.
You're so, not worried about those,
you know,
huh?
Really not. Heard your conversation with Chris, but
yeah.
Public safety is job one for our city council. For our entire city government, no doubt about it. We had the fortune of passing two public safety mill levies in 2000 and 2021, or 2020 and 2021, and the both passed overwhelmingly. And I think as a result of that, we've been able to add a lot of resources for our police department, for our city attorney, for our firefighters, more paramedics out there. And as a result, we've seen violent crime and also property crime decline about 10% the first 6 months of this year. And that was down 10% from the year before that. So we're heading in the right direction, and that's exciting. But we're also learning public safety is not just about adding police and enforcement, but dealing with the root causes of crime, substance abuse, mental health, no doubt about that. But also providing adequate recreation facilities for our kids, giving our kids fun things to do, making them part of the community, building families. And I hope we can talk about that a little bit later, too.
Building families? Yeah. Let's go into it right now. Go ahead. What was on your mind?
Well, we're looking at a major ask to our voters here in November for a recreation and park bond ask to our voters. And it's big dollars to build an indoor recreation center. We don't have any place for our kids to have fun, be part of teams about 8 months out of the year that's publicly owned. City of Billings is 120,000 people, largest city within 500 miles, and we don't own an indoor basketball court. We don't have a pool. We don't have a place where we can have the swimming tournaments for our state. We don't have any ice. Things like that. We haven't built a large park in our city since our population was about half at 60,000 40 years ago. We don't have a funding source for our trail development. So unless we want to get out of the trail business, out of the park business, out of the indoor recreation, kids need productive things to do. And a lot of our crime that we've seen has been focused in our juvenile population. And so it's no panacea. It isn't going to fix the problem overnight. But we're hoping our voters will come forward and help in that way come November 7th.
I'm going to go off of that and pose a question to both Kelly Lynch, Executive Director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns, or the League, I really like that, and Joe Purcell, the incoming president, mayor of Hardin, Montana, that deals with mill levies. Because, yeah, you know, the state is focused. You guys have had to lower your mill levy authority, your request, so to speak, because of some mandates to handle the cost, the automatic cost in the cost of government, I should say. But over the years, the public has been asked an awful lot to pitch in, and I think maybe we're spending money all over the place, and we lost priorities sometimes. But how difficult is it to run government when you're always going to the voters and saying, we need more, we need more?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would start that conversation, Tom, by trying to explain. We had a nice conversation during the legislative session about how property taxes work. But I think what Mayor Cole is alluding to is this issue since the year 2000, when the quote-unquote big bill was passed. Local governments can only raise their revenues that they collect in taxes half the rate of inflation over the previous 3 years' average.
Mm-hmm.
So we cannot even keep up with inflation. And there's actually a special rate on how much it costs to run local governments. It's not the same as your regular inflationary rate. It's actually much higher. So we're not even getting close to that. So one of the only ways that we can have more money to do the things and provide the services that our residents expect, like the public safety and Billings, mm-hmm. Is to take that to the voters and ask them to approve it. That is pretty much the only way for us to raise taxes.
Yeah. Joe, go ahead and comment on that.
That is a huge struggle for us as well. I mean, we're very low income. Mm-hmm. The city of Hardin is a border town. We have a lot of poverty in our area, and it's very difficult to justify increasing a tax base on folks when they're struggling already. You know, we try to keep things as low as possible, but you got to keep up with the infrastructure. You got to keep up with just the cost of goods and services to keep the plants and stuff going, and then to throw taxes on top of it. Increases is difficult.
Is there a better solution? I guess if we can get, I don't know, maybe it points to the federal government, but if they were prioritized, would that help? Or what are some of the solutions, Bill Cole?
Well, I hate to look to the federal government for solutions. You know, they might be here today, but they'll be gone tomorrow. There's no doubt about that. You know, local government is common sense government, and that's the Montana way. Billings, our charter, which is like our city constitution, has had a cap on how much the city council can increase people's taxes. And for decades, we have not been able to exceed that. So the only way we can get those additional dollars is to go to the voters. And that's not all bad.
That's not all bad, right, yes.
You know, then they get what they want.
Yeah.
And, of course, people complain about taxes. That's human nature, no doubt about that. But if we ask them if you want to get rid of firefighters and policemen and make cuts, then the answer is overwhelmingly no. Generally, people are pretty, they know their local leaders, they respect them, they know they got a tough job to do.
Yeah.
And so it's messy a little bit sometimes, but all in all, you know, we're Montanans, we know each other, and we know the situation, and the system works pretty good. Our tax rates actually are a little bit less than national averages at the property tax level. and we don't have sales taxes. So, you know, it's Montana. So we run pretty efficient most days of the week.
Another discussion to have down the road about our tax structure and is it really meeting our needs. That's Mayor Bill Cole from Billings, Montana, Joe Purcell, the incoming president for the league, and also from Mayor of Hardin, Montana. Tell us what's going on in Hardin. I know you got the 105th. We talked with yesterday a little bit, and there's actually quite a bit going on. What's your focus, and what do you want for the future and for Hardin, Montana?
Well, our focus right now is trying to focus, like I said, on public safety, which will trigger into future economic development, trying to get businesses downtown, a little competition. You get these monopolies on a few different businesses, and prices go up. Healthy competition keeps them down. And so really striving to build that piece, build that economic development piece. We have an industrial park just north of town, really pushing that, and have some growth and development going with that. We have an RV park going in. We have another convenience store going in. We have a truck stop going in. Some interest from some outside entities on industrial plant. So there is a lot of little things going on. Hopefully that then will just continue to stair step.
Yeah, we've only got like a minute and a half here. So, Bill, I don't know if you have anything else you want to make sure you get on.
Well, I just want to talk about some great projects that the Billings doing. Also, you know, we've got some great construction projects. We're a medical center for the Northern Rocky region, our St. Vincent and Intermountains, undertaking a $900 million reconstruction of their facilities. Billings Clinic now has authorization to create a level one trauma center. So our reputation, we've got our first medical school in Montana going gangbusters, building a beautiful rim, trail system along the top of our rims, building a second water treatment facility. We've only got a few hours of water. If we were to lose access to water out of the Yellowstone River, which is frightening for 120,000 people, so we're going to be building a reservoir on the west end of town, a second treatment facility that we'll be able to have several months' worth of water. So that, along with lots of commercial construction and residential. We haven't talked about housing. We need more housing at every level, and we're trying to do what we can to build that.
Well, a very busy time. It certainly is.
It is.
Yeah. I look forward to chatting with you guys down the road, too. You know, keeping us informed of what's going on in Montana communities is important, I think, to our audience and to this program, as well as you guys, I'm sure, too. Joe Purcell, thank you. Appreciate that. Good luck to you.
No, thank you.
And Mayor Bill Cole, thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Good to be with you.
Kelly Lynch will be with us. We're back with more From Montana for Montana in just a bit.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
Seems like the weather is always top of mind. First thing we ask about when we get together, and often our last prayer at night. But do you ever get beyond the weather with your neighbor? Ask how they're really doing? We can't control the weather, but we can help each other weather the storm. Mental wellness isn't something we're used to talking about, but it's more important than any forecast. If you know someone that needs a hand dealing with farm stress, head over to beyondtheweather.com. That's beyondtheweather.com.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. We're two decades strong, and we continue to work on three here, just like this Montana League of Cities and Towns. They're a little more than two decades. That's nine decades. Plus, there are 92nd annual conference underway here at the Civic Center in Helena, Montana. Tom Schultz alongside, and again, I appreciate you joining us here today. John Williams joining us here in just a bit. He's standing by. He's the mayor of Colstrip, Montana. Lots to talk about. Kelly Lynch, executive director of the league. I just can't get over it. You know, it sounds like you guys are superheroes or something like that.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you are.
Local government superheroes.
Yeah, yeah. talk about the kind of support, because, you know, our thanks to AARP, they're one of your platinum sponsors as well, for bringing us here. But when you look at setting up a conference, when you look at what the services the communities need, there's a lot of that represented in this conference here.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that we have going on today in terms of sessions is teaching folks how to use artificial intelligence through ChatGPT, and literally having them set up an account and show them how you can use artificial intelligence now to do things like help you draft your resolution.
Really?
Help you draft an internal policy. We talked about at the league, we worked on a credit card policy for the organization for about 2 months. You know, it went back and forth. Everybody edited it. Everybody had their say. We finally had a final, and someone said, let's see what ChatGPT comes up with. And it literally did exactly what we'd worked on for two months.
Well, that's good. I'm going to keep that in mind. I've not really delved into that.
Well, you know, I mean, the thing is, for these really small communities, it's like a mayor and a clerk, maybe, full time, you know, being able to have shortcuts like that that'll save you a few hours of time is really, really important.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. John Williams with us here, mayor of Colstrip, Montana. How you doing, sir?
Thank you, Tom, for the opportunity to talk about my favorite subject, and that's Colstrip, Montana.
I know it.
I appreciate that opportunity. And Voices of America, you've been to Colstrip before.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had great opportunities to visit and on things that are going on in our community. You know, we celebrated this summer. We celebrated 100 years as a community, so this is our centennial year.
Oh.
In addition to that, Tom, this is 25 years as an incorporated community. And back 25-plus years ago, we looked at the support of the League of Cities and Towns at that time as we were thinking about becoming an incorporated community, and with their assistance and local government out of Bozeman, we were able to achieve that. But as exciting as that time was, we're even more exciting times now with some of the threats and of issues that are out before us. We developed back then the slogan of Tomorrow's Town Today, and that is true now, even probably more so than it was back then, because of some of the issues that we have out before us with the challenges we have as a community and with the threats of the closure of those power generating units and those types of things, and the challenges with diversifying our economy. So we're working very hard with Southeastern Montana Development Corporation.
Yep, Jim Atchison.
With Jim Atchison, you know, yeah. Great group.
Yeah.
And I've been privileged to serve on that board of directors as president for the last 15 years. So I work very closely with Jim, and we've been able to make some tremendous achievements out in the future. You know, it became very apparent to us in 2015 that we've got to work very hard at diversification of our economy. So those are challenging times, and particularly with the everything that's been involved with the development of around coal of the energy. So we're moving forward. But we don't lose sight of the fact that in order to diversify our economy, we have to have quality and affordable water and sewer rates, and to have a quality of environment to attract people to come into our community and for whatever future that we have out before us. So that's been one of my priorities as mayor is to continue to work upon improving the quality of services that are provided.
I like that, the quality and affordability.
Affordability.
Yeah.
You know, and I take a look back, it was what we've been able to achieve over the years with increasing costs. So I think we've been made tremendous efforts and successful efforts with some of the things that we're able to obtain. And I look back, and the last time we ever had an increase in water or sewer was in 2016. And it's been our what we want to do out in the future is to continue to make it affordable for our community, to make it an attractive community. And the same thing with quality of law enforcement, fire protection, and all those services that cities provide. And I think we've been very successful. It's more than
yes.
I think. I
yes.
know we've been very successful. And you've been into our community, and you've taken a look around and see what we do and what we have and the things that we do for the community and the quality of life that we provide out there. We have first-class school facilities. We've got parks and recreation opportunities. We have state-of-the-art healthcare facilities. All those important for the future of our town.
You know, and the town itself, as you noted, the threat of the closure of the plants, but also the war on coal, so to speak. You were just being inundated with all this negativity about the future of Colstrip, and I think it took just like a will of the people to say, hey, wait a minute. Our city's not. This is not going to be the end of our city,
That's
and I
right.
think you guys have moved forward
That's
strongly
right.
in that regard.
We're not looking at backing up. We're looking yeah. at moving forward. And one of the things that we're looking at are value-added energy commercialization opportunities.
There's a lot.
There are those opportunities are out there, and with the help of SCMDC, we've been looking at different issues that conduct feasibility and technical studies, particularly in the areas of like hydrogen research, development, rare earth element processing, flue gas capture, graphene research, those types of things. And we have people that are interested in coming into our community to develop some of those. So we're working very strongly with them. We have an outfit, Grid United, that is looking at building a transmission from Colstrip east. those folks out in the east are interested in what we have within that comes in through our community. We also have, of course, the next era is the Clearwater Wind Project to the north of town that brings that wind energy into town, hooks onto the transmission line. Right now it's going west, but they're looking at the transfer of that transmission, that electricity going east. So we're very excited about that opportunity for that. That indicates a continuation of what we do well in Colstrip, and that's energy production. So, I mean, coal is not going to go away. It's there. It's good, reliable, sustainable, and along with other opportunities for wind energy or whatever, we want to welcome all of those opportunities within our community.
Kelly Lynch, I want to have you comment on that sense of self-determination for cities. I mean, yeah. I think this is a fine example of, we're not circling the drain here. We're like you said, John, we're moving forward. But it's sort of unique, but this is the perfect example, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, when this kind of conversation started happening around Colstrip, the league board, which are 18 folks from all over the state, really kind of rallied behind Colstrip and making sure that they had the support they needed to kind of diversify and make sure that they were, I love that, tomorrow's city today. Is that what it is?
Yeah,
that's correct.
It still is.
You know, and I think with what you've stated, Kelly, it gives me the opportunity to express my appreciation to the league for over these years. I've had a lot of involvement with the league and from very back into the Alley Canton days and forward, that they were so supportive during those early times when we incorporated, and it continues on. And I hope that Kelly and other members of the league see the support that also that Colstrip continues to provide and looks forward to their involvement with our future.
Yep. I mean, that's one of the things I absolutely love about this job is just the ability to see how local government is really so important to how communities thrive and kind of reflect their own priorities and their own interests and their own circumstances.
And local government's made up of local people.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, like that too. John, I got to run. I got to save some time for Sam Sykes and Peggy Williams
to the
western side of the state, but we'll circle back on stuff.
I know you will, Tom, and I appreciate the opportunity very much, and thank you for including me in the discussion. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, Mayor.
You got it. That's Mayor John Williams from Colstrip, Montana. We're back, like I said, in just a bit. We'll head over to the western side of the state and talk with Mayor Peggy Williams, and Sam Sykes is also with us, too, from Libby, Montana. Live again from the Montana League of Cities and Towns Annual Conference, 92nd Annual. It's from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.
I'd like to know that my ranch will be safely passed down when I'm ready to step back.
This is Ron Yates from Ide Bailey, a top 20 CPA firm. We understand your desire to proactively and carefully handle the transition of your operation. At Ide Bailey, we help our ag clients consider the range of implications in transferring ownership to the next generation. Whether it be tax planning, ownership structure, or financial planning, we can help. Call or visit us at IdeBailey.com and experience the Ide Bailey difference.
All right, tomorrow it's Austin Knutson in studio. Again, my thanks to AARP. Mike Batista's hanging around here. We was probably going to risk getting a word from him on the air, but I'm not sure I'm going to. I'll let that go. Won't have time for that. Kelly Lynch, again, Executive Director of the Montana League of Cities and Towns. I always appreciate the work that you do, and you're keeping us informed across the state as well, keeping us connected, so thank you.
Thank you
for having us here, too.
Yeah, no, thanks, Tom. And I also do want to say thank you to AARP. They're a platinum sponsor, and all of our sponsors, all of our exhibitors here help keep the league rolling and helping these local governments. So it really is kind of a symbiotic relationship across the state.
To Libby, Montana, Peggy Williams, the mayor over there. Sam Sykes is also with us, the city administrator. First, Mayor Williams, how are you?
I'm great. It's so nice to be here. You know, we have carried this program on KTNY for 20 years or probably?
Yes.
The whole time you've been on the air.
Yes.
And I've never been on this side of the mic before.
Oh, you haven't, huh? Oh, this must be torture then.
When you talk to KLCB and KTNY, you're always talking to Dwayne. Hi, Dwayne.
Hi, Dwayne. Yeah, your wife's on the air. She's looking good and she's sounding good. So maybe you could straighten up over there. Sam Sykes also with us, city administrator. Good morning, Sam. Thanks
good
for
morning.
Being here.
Good morning. Kelly, welcome. Thank you for all you
Hi,
do for us.
Hi, thanks for being here, Sam. Thanks.
Yeah. Let's just start with some of the issues that you guys are dealing with. I'll go with you, Sam. What's on the top of your plate as a city administrator that you and Mayor Williams are working on?
Well, I think it's just like every city in Montana right now. A lot of it's infrastructure and funding. Without the funding, how do we increase or improve our infrastructure? So what we did in Libby, we were actually able to, with Mayor Williams, create a capital improvement plan. We've understood that funding cannot be through loans. So what we do is we do the capital improvement plan to pay for our grant matches. So that takes the burden off of the people because we're not paying interest. We're actually earmarking funding to complete those tasks. And that hopefully will allow us to grow without the cost.
Mayor, go ahead and address some of those things that that you'd like to see done for the community of Libby.
Well, we were dealing with the traditional infrastructure. We're currently, I always describe it as 20-year lifespan for 40-year loans on a lot of the sewer, the wastewater treatment plant or water treatment plant. We're coming up on the end of those lifespans. We're having to find money to invest in improvements to keep them working. If we have dated water lines. I think it was Chris from Shoto who talked about if it's you're not sound under the ground, you're not necessarily sound above ground. And so we've got those same growing problems. But we have done some good things. Last summer, we replaced all of our playground equipment in Fireman's Park. It's a huge family park in the city of Libby. It's crowded all summer long.
Yeah.
It also is home to a splash pad, which attracts a lot of kids. And so that is one of the greatest things we've done this past summer. And I want to give a shout out to Gail Berger. Gail is and her family own the Historic Hotel of Libby. I think it's actually Historic Hotel, Libby Hotel. She has her family are making a huge investment in restoring that property.
Oh.
It's 100 years old. This summer's project is putting on a new roof. I got to go up in the lift and take off some roof tiles, and it's going to be a great project when she finishes that for downtown Libby.
That's
going to
good.
Be a great acre.
And there's been a number of businesses, I think, or community members who have said, let's get to work and revitalize the community. Sam, as Peggy was talking about, you know, the new park and the playground equipment, you had a big smile on your face. It was a big thumbs up for you. I mean, obviously there's some satisfaction there.
Well, being born and raised in Libby, I joined the Marine Corps, I was gone for 20 years. All I dreamed of was coming home just to help support my city. So for me, this is a dream come true. Yeah. And part of that will be for the growth, and that's why we're working with several developers, because we, like everybody else in Montana, we need housing, but at the same time, we need businesses for them to go to work too. So we've been working with a developer and with our county on bringing in some more lands that would allow that to happen. For industrial growth also.
Gotcha.
To bring in those jobs.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And I know jobs are a big focus.
It is. And currently the county has been the owner of what we call the Lincoln County Port Authority. They are in the process of, I don't want to call it subdividing, but they're trying to figure out how to make that acreage more usable and to contribute to the community in terms of housing small businesses. Part of it is going to always remain industrial because of it sits on the side of one of Libby's Superfund sites for the groundwater, but they're making an investment to be able to spend some of that property off and make it viable for the community.
I'm going to circle back with you guys and talk about some of the restoration projects that are going on. And we're out of time for today. Fastest hour in radio, you know, Peggy, for years and years. Peggy Williams, Mayor of Libby, Montana, and Sam Sykes, the City Administrator. Thank you guys for being here.
Thank you.
Kelly Lynch, you're the best.
Love to have you.
Yep.
Love to be on.
We're doing more. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you on Friday.
Thanks again for joining us for the podcast, and join us daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana, a live issue-oriented talk show heard daily Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on local stations all across Montana.